I want to thank Skybook Sportsbook for sponsoring today's pod. Skybook Sportsbook will be providing us with our over-unders and our game spreads. Check them out at skybook.ag.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome, everyone, to the DFS Army Vegas Lines Daily Fantasy Football Breakdown Podcast. My name is Kevin Allen. I am the Commander-in-Chief of the DFS Army and the host of this podcast. I've got Mitch Carl, a.k.a. DFS and Donuts, on the line with me. What's going on, Mitch?
What's up, geek? I'm pumped to be here. Let's get this thing going.
No doubt. Week 3 is here. I'm still reeling off the Week 2 excitement that we had in the DFS Army. Including an incredible $200,000 win in the
unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, how do you like that?
First, it was his first week inside the DFS Army as well.
First day in the DFS Army. Okay, he signed up Sunday morning, jumped on the Geeks pick sheet, and put together some lineups. My favorite. And I almost want to read. You know, I want to talk about what this pod is about, but I have to read my favorite line.
Let's hear it
from the Geeks pick sheet, which really kind of talked about so. The lineup that won the money featured a stack of Mahomes to Travis Kelce and a comeback with Juju Smith-Schuster. So a game stack of the Steelers game, which was the hot game of the week. And we will point out this week's hot game.
Ooh.
Yes, we're going to be pointing that out, no doubt. But it featured that stack. And what made it unique and really like what won the money was using Travis Kelce, because the entire industry had this narrative going about how Travis Kelce didn't have good, chemistry with Pat Mahomes and not to use him and all of that. So that was a big part of it. And he stacked Mahomes with Kelce and Juju. Now that it seems so obvious in hindsight, but I want to read the line from the Geeks pick sheet that I put in about Travis Kelce, mostly because I use a really fun little word in there. So, all right, from Travis Kelce, 6,800. All right, Kelce is a contrarian tournament play for me. He's coming off a dud game at the Chargers, and the narrative is that he hasn't developed chemistry with Mahomes. I'm calling shenanigans on that narrative. And it's the shenanigans I really want to.
Worth it.
Yeah. Just for the, how often do I call shenanigans? Like, that was the first. And so, you know, Chargers, it's tough matchup. That's
a $200,000 shenanigans call.
Yeah, I mean, but that's one of the things that you have to look for in daily fantasy sports specifically, where, or what I like to look for, I like to hear where, like, everybody's, like, on some sort of a narrative, right? I do this with other sports, too. This isn't just football. When I hear the same thing kind of repeated over and over again, I start to think, maybe everybody's repeating each other's bullshit, you know? So, I don't know. That worked out. And, you know, and the obviously there were some other great things, but congratulations to K-Biggs on taking second place in the NFL Sunday Million on FanDuel for $200,000. So close to first and the million, but K-Biggs, Keith, we'll get him next time. So, all right, let's jump right into it. So, the point of this podcast, Nick, is we're going to go through every game of the slate and break it down from a Vegas Lines perspective. And I'm using the Skybook Sportsbook to get us these numbers. And we'll look at the numbers and try to see, like, what are the numbers telling us about each game. So let's get started with my beloved New York Jets heading out to Cleveland to take on the Browns as 3-point underdogs in a game with a 39.5 point total. And right off the bat, you know, when you see a 39.5 point total, you don't get excited for the offenses. That's about as low as it's going to get on any given week. So, let's start off with you, Mitch. What's your take on this game?
Oh, man, for anybody who wants to jump into those Thursday night games, you know, the main full slate, I should say, 16 games, You know, there's always a little bit of edge of playing those slates and just completely fading a game like this. Or maybe at the very least, just targeting the defenses to kind of leverage some of that ownership where people are just getting a little action on Thursday night and they throw in Tyrod Taylor. A guy like Tyrod Taylor might be 19-20% usage across the industry when he really should only be at like 4 or 5% in a matchup like this. And especially with the team surrounding him. So there's, you know, there's a nice edge if you do start playing these and then just fade the Thursday night game, depending on what the Thursday night game is. And I think this is a good one to fade.
Can I tell you a little trick that I do every single week? I love the fade the Thursday game, but there's even more to it with from a daily perspective. And this is almost something I should be saving for the VIP podcast we do, but we're going to share it with the public.
Let's let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. No, I'm going to let this one out. I'm going to share this one because this is important. So what I do each week, I like to build ladder lineups where I, you know, my cash games and my tournaments and all that. And I do them on Sundays, of course, but I'll set them up over the course of the week. So what I'll do is I'll set up a bunch of those same ladders, the type of entries I want to do for the Thursday through Monday slate. Then I'll just put a fake lineup in there of players from the Sunday game. Reason being, I found that the Thursday to Monday slate tends to have a lower score to win than the Sunday slate, which is counterintuitive, but I believe I know why. It's because people don't bother to go back and modify their lineups when more information comes out. They're so focused on the Sunday games that they don't go back and look at the lineups they built on Thursday. So it doesn't really work well if you use a lot of players from the Thursday game because it kind of messes up your process. But I'll just use the lineup I might use for my Sunday cash games or hybrids in this Thursday thing. And the success rate is really, really good. It's super profitable to do that. And I advise everybody to start doing that. But make sure you remember to modify that lineup. As far as this game goes, there's not a whole lot to like here when you're talking about such a low spread. It's a total fade for daily fantasy purposes. Simple as that. There is not one player in this game that needs to be played. Let's move on to the Sunday games. And
I like it.
Checking the Skybook Sportsbook numbers, we've got the Eagles at home taking on the Colts in a game with a 47.5 point total. Eagles are currently 6.5-point favorites. Carson Wentz returning for this one. Alshon Jeffrey not returning. What do you think here? You like this for fantasy purposes?
You know what? I do think there's going to be one spot that you're going to see a lot of people on, and that's going to be, I believe it's Corey Clements. He looks like he could be the lead back this week, and his price is not priced at the price you'd expect it to be for a guy who might be taking 80% or more of the snaps.
Absolutely. Clement, right now it's not clear. We're recording this on Tuesday night. I'm seeing doubtful on Ajayi. These things change, so you don't want to plan your whole week around Clement, but Clement is pretty much going to be the consensus free square on every site if he is the starter in this game. Now, a couple of reasons why, of lines-based reasons why that's a good thing. We generally want running backs from teams that are heavily favored and at home. So Clement already was checking off boxes, and to be honest with you, when I made my first lineup, and I do one like as soon as the numbers come out for both sites, Ajayi was figuring prominently in the, quote, type of game where I wanted a running back from. So I had Ajayi in there. Now I'm even more excited because he's out. I don't like Ajayi that much. Doesn't catch passes. Give me some Corey Clement. Give me some Corey Clement with the pass catching, and I think that's a preferred situation. The other thing going on in this particular game is the return of Carson Wentz. And really, what do we do about that? Can he be trusted? And I'm going to lean yes. So I like Wentz to Aguilar, sort of as a little bit of sneakiness at home. Again, heavily favored. What do you think about Wentz? You ready to play him here?
You know what? It's coming off the knee injury. I really think they're going to stick with a short passing game. You know, they're not going to have Wallace. It doesn't look like Jeffrey might be active. They're going to be missing their top two running backs. I could just see them kind of leaning on the Corey Clement and was it Josh Adams off the practice squad. And you're going to see a lot of short, quick passes. You're going to want to protect the guy, and they might have a positive game script where he might not need to kind of unleash the dragon, so to speak.
That sounds like it would be good for my man, Aguilar.
Yes, absolutely.
And a little bit of Earth. So mainly I was thinking, I think people would be apprehensive to play him. He's in such a good matchup, but I think there's going to be a lot of apprehension about playing a guy coming off. Rightfully so. Quarterbacks need time to get their act together. And so, you know, they're not, it takes time to sort of click with your wide receivers, and he didn't have any time. So, yeah, I mean, it's logical to think he might not be as sharp as he will be in a few weeks. All right, let's move on to the next game and check in my Skybook sportsbook numbers. We've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, favored by 7.5, taking on the Titans, who will be helmed by, I don't even know, Mariota, is it Gabbert, is it somebody else? I don't know, but 39.5 point, ugly total, not a good-looking game, Jacksonville at home. The numbers here scream, play Jacksonville defense. What say you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people, when they look at their, you know, Vegas lines, they're looking for a team that has a low implied total, but that's really not what you want to look for in DFS. You're looking for that large spread, so you know the other team's going to be playing from behind, it's got to throw the ball. That can lead to, you know, sacks, strip sacks, interceptions, pick six. And, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars being on the road, it's not that big of a deal. They're 7.5-point spread. And they
they're at
that
home,
box.
By the way. They are at home, yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's, even worse. That makes them even better, yeah. So the Jags, I mean, they – is it just the Vikings that could possibly be the only better defense of the week?
That's what you have to choose between if you want to pay up.
Right, and I guess if you're paying up at the top, the Jaguars, you might get them at a discounted ownership. If everyone's going to be all over those Vikings at 16.5-point spread, where
it is a damn hard. I mean, it's hard to pass up those Vikings. And,
yeah. It really is, but that, you know, that pick six that you could get from Jacksonville or something like that could really swing the balance in a large field GPP too.
If Mariota plays in this game, they might end his career. He
might I can see that.
All right, so basically, yeah, let's avoid this game for the most part outside of the Jacksonville defense. I'm not even sniffing anybody on the Titans, no interest, and the Jags, I mean, unlike last week, people might be tempted to get on, you know, the Bortles bandwagon. I'm all about the Bortles bandwagon, but I love the Bortles bandwagon, but I think he needs an opposing team that will challenge him and force him to throw. I do like, you know, the possibilities for the pass catchers with, you know, Fournette out, but still I don't see where Tennessee is really, you know, forcing them to throw it all. So that's not the type of offense I'm getting down with. Let's move on to the next game, and we'll check my Skybook sportsbook numbers here.
And we've got an exciting one.
Yes. See, the next game.
Finally.
I mean, this is where you rub your hands together like Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. Excellent.
That's
yes.
Right.
We have the Falcons playing the Saints. Falcons are at home, 3-point favorites, 53.5 point total, points galore, no one can stop, can't nobody stop these guys. This is the game to stack this week in your fantasy lineups. This is the game where if you're in season-long fantasy, you like bust out with, you know, some of those guys that you don't normally want to play, like, you know, Ted Ginn Jr. or, you know, Mohamed Sanu, you know, like the tertiary players, because there could be so many points being scored that, you know, it trickles down to all of them. What do you think about this one?
Oh, I mean, what's not to like? You've got some guys who are just in positions where they are just going to be fed the rock, and we don't have much competition to stop them. I was digging in a little bit on the Saints side of the ball, and Michael Thomas has 16 targets in week one, 17 in week two, and he has 7 red zone targets over the first 2 weeks, which is second to only Juju Smith-Schuster, who has 8. He got all 8 in that second game. The second highest snap rate by any Saints wide receiver in week two was 48% by Austin Carr. So you've got Michael Thomas running 96% of the snaps at wide receiver, double more than any other wide receiver. He's just going to keep gobbling up those targets on the outside and underneath.
It's Michael Thomas and a bunch of Nayer do well.
Yeah, right. And a couple deep threats, you know, but they get in there and they just rotate. They're rotational deep threats.
Now I have a question for you. Last week, Christian McCaffrey literally went bananas against an Atlanta Falcons defense that's really known for not being able to stop pass-catching running backs. Do you happen to know of a pass-catching running back on the Saints that might be even better than Christian McCaffrey? I think there might be someone.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. Is it Alvin Kamara? Interesting.
You might not see a better setup for Alvin Kamara. Now, we said this week one, and he went crazy.
Right.
Last week, I didn't play Kamara. I went with Gurley, because Kamara's matchup didn't look as good. This one, the momentum has shifted back to Kamara in a game in which the only thing that's not... the Saints aren't favored, but Kamara's not that type of a running back that needs his team favored to be successful.
I venture to say he might even be better in a game script where his team is going to be playing an incredibly close game or even slightly behind.
Absolutely. So all I can say about this game is I just want as much DFS exposure to it as I can possibly afford. Tevin Coleman.
Yes.
Affordable. Kamara. Got to break the bank to use him. You know, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones. There's a lot of expensive in this game, can't get them all.
For sure.
Get them all, but we're going to try to get as much exposure to that one as possible.
Hey, Geek, right. I just want to add two things real quick on that game. I had come across a couple numbers here. So Tevin Coleman, even though his price has not gone up high enough, it's had a slight increase, but it's not high enough to the point where he's off the list here. He's had four straight starts over 19 touches with Devonta Freeman inactive, and he also has five touchdowns over that four-game span. Alvin Kamara is facing the team that has let up the most receptions against opposing running backs for three straight years, and they lost their starting middle linebacker, Deion Jones, and their starting strong safety, Keanu Neal, in week one, which led to McCaffrey just going hog wild in week two. So I'm on board with your Kamara pick as just being one of the top, if not the top play on the entire slate.
Hell yeah. Load up on Kamara this week. All right, let's check the Skybook Sportsbook numbers here. We've got our next game on the docket. Not as exciting. The Broncos head out to Baltimore to take on the Ravens as 5-point underdogs in a game with a 43.5-point total. Denver coming off, I would say, not a good game for Case Keenum. And the Ravens kind of been doing their thing. So, a little bit of ugly for the Ravens too last week, but nice start to the season overall. What do you have? Any numbers on this game?
Just one from the Ravens side. John Brown leads the team in targets and red zone targets. Looks like his snap share went up by about 30% in the second week as well. So if he's going to start getting more run, his price is really not meeting his potential on both FanDuel and DraftKings. So I think there's some buy low opportunity there. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Denver pass defense, not as good as it's been in the past. Currently, this 29th in yards allowed per pass, 15th DVOA. So we're not talking about the scare. You know, this is an Aqib Talib less Broncos pass defense. So I think the sneaky part of this game for me, and it's good that you mentioned John Brown, the sheriff, is people kind of still think of the Broncos as a team you can't throw on. But so far this season, that has not been the case. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, this is just a couple games in and things revert. But, yeah, I'm not that scared to use a little John Brown action in this one.
So, yeah, and after you said that, it actually got me thinking about, is Joe Flacco play? I mean, he's going to be fine next night.
Joe Flacco is rarely a play, and I'm not sure that this is the situation where we want
to.
I saved my Joe Flacco exposure for like when he's taking on the Browns or like the Bills or some terrible team. But as far as this one goes, I don't really see that. But I do want to caution people: the Ravens' pass defense has pretty much been tops overall in the league the first couple of weeks. So I would say more of a cautionary note on not playing the Denver wide receivers here, you know, going in up against the Ravens pass defense that has been number one overall, or number two in DVOA, number one overall in yards per pass. So basically doing a really, really good job of limiting opposing pass catchers. We want to stay away from that Broncos offense here completely. And maybe consider Baltimore defense. like as a sneaky, cheap, you know, if you're dying to use someone that's not Art Chalk 2, which I probably not. All right, let's move on to the next one, because that game isn't one that I want to get a whole lot of involved with for daily fantasy purposes. Checking the Skybook Sportsbook numbers, we have the Giants traveling to Houston to take on the Texans as 6-point underdogs. Interesting. In a game that has a very low 41.5 point total. Now, Mitch, why do you think this total is so low? I would have thought that Deshaun Watson, Odell Beckham, there's a lot of weapons in this game that make me think it should be more than a 41.5 point total. What do you think here?
You know, at first glance, too, I have the same thought, so I wonder if this is just one of those spots where we're going to be able to maybe have a little edge on this.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when I looked at the slate, that was one of the games I targeted as potentially high scoring. And it's funny, I was like, well, you know, now the Giants have been pretty good defensively, not allowing a whole lot, but I mean, they played Dallas. Dallas doesn't throw. Who did the Giants play week one? I don't even remember, but it was the Jaguars. It was the Jaguars. It wasn't going to be an offensive juggernaut type of a team. So, the Texans have been like okay defensively, but not great. I mean, you know, they're in the middle of the pack against the run, towards the bottom of the pack against the pass. I'm a little confused about this. I'm actually a little bit confused about this line here. And, you know, one of the things I'm into in daily fantasy is games that will play to the over. Because very often they're pricing in the game totals to the player salaries on the various sites, DraftKings, FanDuel, especially DraftKings. So this game interests me from that point of view. It's funny, like, I'm really surprised. I had Deshaun Watson as a very exciting play. I kind of like a lot of the players from this game, so we'll see how that goes.
Will Fuller played 82% of the snaps in his first game back.
Yeah, I mean, who do you like on in this game for fantasy purposes?
Specifically, I think I would go to Will Fuller. I mean, even if the game does stay, if the total stays low, Will Fuller is one of those guys that can just have that big splash play and completely, you know, blow the top off his scoring ceiling in just a play or two. So I like players like that.
Yeah, you gotta like Will Fuller. I'm not sure if he's ever gonna be considered, you know, sort of a safe floor play, but his ceiling is fantastic. And he does seem to have a wonderful, repertoire with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, on the flip side, I think anytime you can get somebody like Odell Beckham Jr. for low ownership, and I think it will be low looking at this game total. Like, you know, no one's gonna flock to pay for him when Julio Jones is staring at you. Or Michael Thomas, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to go to those guys in that game. So you're like, what about Odell? He's like, you know, now Eli has looked like shit. So there's that. But even when Eli looks like shit, which is often, he's able to produce quality results for Odell Beckham Jr. So yeah, that's one spot I'll look at as a sort of contrarian play. We got another ugly one coming up next. In the Skybook Sportsbook, we have the Raiders traveling to Miami to take on the Dolphins as 3-point underdogs in another ugly, low 43.5 point total game.
Ugh.
Miami, sneaky good defensively so far this season. Oakland, you know, pretty much who they've always been. Mediocre. So what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, my first thought is at home as a 3-point spread, with 3-point favorite was, I'm going to target the running game a little bit. I looked into it, saw Kenyon Drake. He had played 74% of snaps in week one. That dropped down to 60% in week two. He did have a touchdown run, but I mean, this is a committee. It might not be an all out committee, but Frank Gore's taking a chunk out of Drake's time. I don't really like anybody else on either side of the ball. I'm not even that excited about the defenses because of the other options on the slate. So for me personally, I think this game just completely gets X'd out of our optimizer.
I'm totally on board with what you're saying. I did think about Amari Cooper as like, hey, why not kind of play. You know, maybe he'll be in my player pool, just like, why not? But the Dolphins, nothing special defensively against the pass. let's see, Dolphins run defense. That's what's been good for them. Third in yards allowed. So they've been pretty good against the run. Nothing special against the pass this year. I don't hate, you know, sort of just rolling out Cooper because he's a studly player and they don't really have anyone else to throw to on the Raiders. But, you know, it's not exciting me with that low total. So just a one-off for me, and I agree with you on Kenyon Drake. He's just not getting enough volume right now to make me want to pay for him. Now, yeah, you're right. He had a good week, but 11 carries is what bothers me in a game that the team was leading. Now, that was against the Jets. Jets do have a good run defense. But, I mean, he had 11 carries for 53 yards. It wasn't like the guy wasn't moving the ball, and yet they only gave him 11 carries. So that's concerning. That's concerning.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's move on to the next game on the Skybook Sportsbook. We've got, this is a good one, and a sneaky low total, which is surprising, but we've got the Packers heading to Washington to take on the Redskins, 45.5-point total. Packers are road favorites in this one, unusual. And why do you think this total's so low, 45? Like, normally when the Packers play, like, the totals are higher. You think this has something to do with Aaron Rodgers, you know, kind of injury? I mean, he looked all right last week.
You know what? At first glance, when I saw this, I did think the same thing. I thought it might be maybe like 47 or so. It just could be an opportunity for us to target some of those Green Bay pass catchers. As far as both teams, though, I'm not too sure at their current price tags. If I'm really interested in anybody in this game, you know, if you look at it from a turnip perspective, you can maybe look at a Green Bay stack and then run it back with Chris Thompson, you know, that dump off safety valve kind of catch up mode running back who racked up, I think he racked up 14 targets this week, he had 13 catches or so for just like 92 yards. It was nothing special, but you know, he could rack up those points in a hurry in that garbage time. But other than that, I don't know. What are you thinking?
I think anytime Aaron Rodgers like isn't playing the Vikings and is going to be low owned, I'm interested. A lot of his pass catchers, and again, I'm not sure if this is because of the team total, but a lot of those pass catchers are severely underpriced. Cobb, Geronimo Allison, punt level salaries, and that interests me because I'm always looking for where I can get the bargain. You know, at 5,200 on DraftKings for Cobb. With a little third overall next to the Washington pass defense rating, as if the Washington pass defense is some amazing, thing. That interests me because people are going to have a hard time on DraftKings clicking Geronimo Allison when they see that third overall opposing rank, right? But here's the thing. Washington played Arizona week one.
Right. Yep.
That is a team that is just not capable of completing a pass. They're terrible. And then last week, how did they
play? Colts.
Yeah, they played the Colts again with sort of a hobbled version of Andrew Luck out there, road. They were at home. So I don't trust these numbers. And that's what I'm relaying a little bit here. I don't trust these numbers. I'm not believing that the Redskins are the number two or number six best team against the pass this season. I think that number is due for regression. I don't see anything about the Redskins' secondary that's all that impressive. I just think it's the situation that they've been in. And, you know, you don't count Aaron Rodgers out. Again, the knee concerns me, but if it wasn't for the knee, I'd be heavily targeting both, just like you said, both the Green Bay side of this game, but also the comeback, trying to get a little something going on the Redskins side. But I like the Chris Thompson play for that. That's definitely who they're going to go to if they're down. They're going to just abandon Adrian Peterson completely and just go all about CT. So I like that. I like that stack. I mean, obviously Jordan Reed and you know, the other ancillary pass catchers like Jamison Crowder are in play, but definitely not exciting daily fantasy options. I will leave them in my season-long fantasy teams if I don't have any other options. All right, let's move on to the next one on the Skybook Sportsbook.
Can we please not?
This well, is we just, I mean, there's only one thing to talk about in this game.
It's too embarrassing.
Your beloved Buffalo Bills, who you and I had a conversation right after the draft, and I said, dude, they done fucked up, right? Did I not tell you this? I said, you know, I would not be happy if I was a Bills fan and they passed up on Josh Rosen to take this Allen kid who did not look ready to play.
He doesn't.
And what? Why did they? Oh, what a disaster over there. And keeping LeSean McCoy, and now he's hurt. The whole thing is just going down the drain. This game looks horrible. So now the Bills have to go to the best defensive team. Can you imagine how many survivor pools will get blown up if the Bills win this game? Like, this is the game for your survivor. Just don't bet it. I know it's really tempting. Never go in on the 95% owned game. Because if the Bills happen to win, like, the one guy who didn't pick the Vikings to win this game is going to win your pool. Like, 98%.
In week three.
Yeah, it's going to be like the person who has no idea about football. That's the problem. Take Jacksonville. You know, take somebody else this week. You just, you know, pick the Bears. I don't know about that. But you got to take a home team. But you know what I'm saying. It's so obvious that it almost shouldn't be played. That's how crazy this is. 16.5 point favorite, Vikings, Buffalo. I mean, I just want to, I can't do the math on this team total because it's actually going to be, the number is so huge that I need to break it down. How many points are the Vikings?
29 to 12.
Is that 12 points? Is that the lowest implied total for a football team ever? Certainly for this year.
It has to be.
Yeah, 29 to 12.
28 and a half. Yeah, 28 and a half to 12.
That is just ridiculous. the only thing to talk about here, all right, so obviously we're not playing anybody from Buffalo. Minnesota defense, super in play. If you have them, lock and load. You know, it's just a question between them and the Jags. I like Minnesota best overall this week. Normally I want to play a running back when I have a 16.5 point home team favorite. Are you confident in Dalvin Cook?
Okay, so I did read that he tweaked his hammy. You know, everybody says he's fine, but you gotta wonder. As a guy coming off, you know, an ACL tear, sometimes they have ligament issues or soft tissue issues, I should say, during their comeback time, right? So if they're just looking at this game saying, let's just protect this guy and sit him, boy, I mean, Latavius Murray, does he become a lock?
If they sat him, absolutely a lock. Like, if we can know. I don't think they'll give you that gift, Mitch. The fantasy football gods are fickle. They do not make it easy for you. If Lats Murray is the only game in town...
Do you see his price tag?
It's not even that cheap. I mean, are you looking at FanDuel or DraftKings? I mean, on DraftKings, $5,800. It's not like a giveaway. Oh,
well, okay. On FanDuel, it's week one James Conner all over again. He's $5,200.
Yes. So, there it is. FanDuel, he becomes... I mean, can you imagine him and Clement in the same lineup? I'm just going to load up on, you know, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Todd Gurley, every other stud on the slate. Because I got my two cheapies that look studly. Right? Ridiculous.
Oof.
Ridiculous. So I hope if we can, you know, but I hear what you're saying. The problem is if we are going to make an assumption that they'll, like, let's say Dalvin Cook is active. But then we're thinking like, oh, the coaching staff will be smart and they won't play him because he's got a tweak hammy and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a great assumption to make, but that's not a let me hit the lock button on Lats Murray assumption. That's a, hey, let me put him in a couple lineups and see if that actually comes true.
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point. What if Cook does play, game gets out of hand early, and they just sit him? You know, Lats Murray can rack up 15, 20 touches in the second half during clock counting mode.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the more likely scenario.
Okay,
if,
I see.
If Cook was actually hurt, but all that said, it's not a, hey, let me lock this guy in because I have this idea that they might do something, and then they don't do it. And then it's like, nah, he just had a cramp. He was fine. you know, yeah, he's totally fine, Dalvin Cook. He's out there doing his thing. So we don't know. I think Lats Murray is a good play either way. I actually think at 5,100 on FanDuel, not the draft, the DraftKings price, they haven't priced as a starter, but the FanDuel price, that's so cheap. That you could almost play him anyway. And if he just squeaks in a touchdown, which at this level, I actually think that's probably going to, I'd give him more than a 50% chance, even if Cook plays, that Lats Murray comes in and steals a touchdown at some point in this type of game.
Like, if you know what, man? As I'm listening to you talk, I'm just thinking to myself, this is why we've had three different winners over $200,000 over the last 3 years because of your, because of this next level analysis like this. I just wouldn't even have gone there. I would have thought to myself, ah, Cook's playing? All right, Lat Murray's out. Look at you, man. You got this next level GPP analysis and strategy. I love it.
Wait, I should be saving this one for the VIP.
What are you doing,
hold
man?
Hold on. All right. Shut up.
Yo, Bobby, you got to edit this out.
Yeah, here, pull this part out. Be quiet. No, that's, you know, I always think that you have to think two steps, not one. You have to look past the obvious because everybody's on the obvious. And you have to say, all right, what's less obvious but actually more of an effect? So that's a lot of what I'm always trying to look for. Like, when a team loses a running back, I'm not always looking at their backup. I'm sometimes thinking, oh, shit, their passing offense is going to need to have to make up for it. So let's play some Blake Bortles against the Patriots last week because without Fournette in there, he's going to have to do a little bit more throwing than he normally does. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to look beyond the simple, hey, let's just start the backup to what's the true effect of this change. So, you know, in the purpose of this podcast, we're trying to break down the Vegas lines and look at what they're telling us. And in this case, this is telling us play the Vikings run game. Lats Murray come in late either way. And I hope they sit Cook, but even if they don't, I don't mind the share or two on FanDuel where he's cheap enough that it doesn't take a lot to bring that value. All right, let's move on to the next game. I'm going to say, is it the most exciting game of the slate? There's a few really good ones, right?
So it's a fun slate.
It is a great one with three games projected over 50 points. And you could choose from them. All could go off. None can go off. I think they're all going to go off. Who knows? Actually, the third game, the Patriots game, is actually technically Sunday night. So,
and if you do the Thursday main slate, though, you will have the 52-point total for that game and the 53.5-point total of the Steelers and Bucks game.
Oh, my gosh. If you do, think about the Sunday-Monday primetime.
Oh, it's going to be electric.
It's going to be the best primetimes ever with these games.
I can't wait for our breakdowns this weekend. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. All right, so where were we? Oh, yeah. Exciting game. San Francisco at Kansas City. Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites. 49ers, 56-point total. My goodness, where do we get started on this one, Mitch?
I mean, who is it in play? Honestly, I mean, just looking at a game like this where you've got the Chiefs who likely are playing ahead and, you know, 49ers, their pass catchers, nobody's really that highly priced. You know, everybody still has wiggle room with their ceilings. You got guys who had tough weeks that the field was on, like Dante Pettis and George Kittle, who you could just go back to the well with them in another superb spot at a depressed ownership because of that recency bias. I mean, there's just a lot to like here.
Last week, yeah, Pettis was a big sort of fad name. Obviously, Kittle hurt a lot of people. Pierre Garçon didn't do much, so I'm just looking at the San Francisco side. Will Marquise Goodwin come back for this game? We don't know. If he does, I'm excited to use Marquise Goodwin. My concern with the San Francisco side is just, how are they going to keep up? They have not shown the type of offensive prowess that they showed toward the end of last season to where they can stay in a game with a team like the Chiefs. The Chiefs just look fantastic. They have weapons all over the place. Mahomes looks like the real deal. He's hot. You know, you want to ride that pony while they're hot. He's the most expensive quarterback on at least one of the sites. I think FanDuel had him. Let me see which one. Was it DraftKings? Yeah, FanDuel has him as the most expensive overall. DraftKings still has Rodgers ahead of him. But it's hard not to be excited to play Pat Mahomes. It's hard not to be excited to stack him up on both sides of this one. The only guy that I'm not super excited by is Kareem Hunt because he's just so sketchy. His price is coming down, and eventually he's going to have a Kareem Hunt blow-up game, but is this the spot?
Yeah, I was just trying to look at some stuff here. I'm not sure, especially with the running back options on the slate. That's just the place I want to go at his price tag.
I think it's a tournament-only. I think Kareem Hunt is forever a tournament-only play. The numbers say to play him. 6.5-point home favorite, taking on a San Francisco team that's not a spectacular run defense by any stretch. Literally, the numbers are begging us. The numbers are screaming, it's Kareem Hunt time.
For sure.
Don't be scared. It's fine. The war is good.
Though I do wonder if you're right. I wonder if the awesome ability to go deep is just going to hurt Greenwood this year. I mean, that's two targets, two games. He's not getting that. He's not getting those dump offs that Alex gave him frequently last season. So if he's not getting those, you're just relying on about what 17 carries a game or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get. They just haven't gotten there yet. I do think he's going to start to get some passing game work. But yeah, it has not been there. Yeah, one of the problems with the way that the Chiefs run their team is they really treat Hunt and Ware as, you know, people assume that Kareem Hunt is a three down, every down running back. But he's just not that. And he's never been that. They had issues with injuries last year where he was almost forced into that action. But I recall this is just how Andy Reid runs his team. Even when Jamaal Charles was the bell cow, there would be these games where he'd be like, Why is Jamaal Charles only getting 12 touches? Like, what are they doing? And they just do that with the running back position. So it's never safe, but obviously he could blow up at any time, but it's not a guy that I will ever use in a cash game or any sort of a game that requires a high floor. The one thing that he's got, he's been overpriced for years. The one thing he's got going for him is the salary is now coming down to the level where he's actually becoming, you know, in the area where he belongs. So he's now just a little more than Kenyon Drake and, you know, in their area with Chris Thompson and Gio Bernard. Like, he's in the area that he's supposed to be in. So he's fairly priced in a great matchup. So that's what he's got going for him. But obviously, Tariq Hill on the Kansas City side and Travis Kelce are much more exciting options. I'm not a Sammy Watkins guy. Are you? You like Sammy Watkins? You like Sammy?
Yeah, I liked him on Buffalo. That's about it.
Did you? I mean, he had, like, what, three good games over the course of his Buffalo career? What do you like about him?
Cool.
Just that he was a Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill, man.
Yeah, you gotta like
it. He was a Bill.
I mean, like, you know what I'm saying, though? This guy is a perennial disappointment. He had a good week last week, so, you know, all good. But it did take him getting exactly the 100-yard bonus to kind of have a decent day.
I didn't even realize he made it there.
He had exactly 100 yards against Pittsburgh. But again, that was in the most prolific offensive explosion game that you're ever going to see. So, like, that's got to be a ceiling game. Seven targets, six receivers. He's just not a big part of that offense. And he's never been a consistent wide receiver, in my opinion. Again, it could have been the terrible Buffalo quarterbacks, but we saw him doing the same thing with the Rams, where he wasn't all that great. So,
yeah, that we did.
You know, I just think at some point it's not him, it's not me, it's you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure.
That's how the player is. He's just not going to be that great. All right, so stack up everything about Kansas City and San Francisco. Treat it like the Kansas City Steelers game from last week. All right. Now, I thought that the games couldn't get uglier. And then the Skybook Sportsbook numbers on the Bears at Cardinals game showed up, and I said, oh, yeah, no, they can't. They said, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. All right. I just came up with that. Right here on the spot. Hold my beer, because we're going for a 37.5-point total.
Ah, this is ugly.
Now, it's not often that the home team is a 6-point underdog. Are you, if you were a betting man, would you say this is the time that Sam Bradford turns it around, or they mercifully bench him and put the rookie in just to show the Bills that we made the right decision and you guys did it? I mean, is it not time for this?
I could definitely see that happening this game. I'm not a betting man, first off. Let me lead with that. Okay. I'm a DFS player. I'm pretty good there, but betting, no, that's not my game. But I think I really like Chicago, even with the 6-point spread, due to that pass rush. And, you know, we've seen the Cardinals struggle to protect Sam Bradford. They can't run block. And you got a team like the Bears who are racking up 5-6 sacks a game, and Khalil Mack just getting strip sack fumbles. Both the first two games, Bradford's in trouble. I mean, if he gets taken out, it might be because of an injury.
Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to throw this at you. Just from our, I like to do like NFL math. All right, so let's do a little NFL math real quick.
I'm already scared.
In last night's game against a mobile and quite healthy Russell Wilson. The Chicago Bears managed to get 5 sacks in the first half. Now, if you translate that to a similar offensive line with what Arizona has, but a statuesque and just completely immobile Sam Bradford standing back there, are we talking 10, 12, 14 sacks? Can that even happen in an NFL game?
Wouldn't that be something to see?
I mean, we may have found another defense to maybe target in case that you don't want to use the ultra-lockdown 100% Vikings chalk. You know, Chicago, I mean, on the road, could I agree with you. I think Sam Bradford might not make it through the game. I thought I do want to say this one thing. These guys are getting a bad rap. Listen, they played at the Rams last week, and you're not doing anything at the Rams. And I said that Sam Bradford would get destroyed and not make it through that game. So, I've been wrong already once on my Sam Bradford predictions. And I actually think that Arizona has a chance to maybe play a little bit better at home than what we saw. Teams are usually not as bad as they look early on. Like, I actually have a feeling. You want my sneaky GPP thought? It's that David Johnson probably gets his shit together in this game and has a big game.
Oh, man, that'd be some nice leverage on the field.
No one will own him.
Bears chalk.
No one will own him. And I didn't touch him. I'm not taking him on the road at the Rams. But at home, young Chicago team, David Johnson, still has all the talent. Think about it. All right, let's move on to the next game.
Hey, can I add in one thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So it just came across the wire about an hour or two ago, and it's definitely something you're talking about in Slack all the time. I always see you telling members this. When coaches speak about getting a running back more touches, you have to listen. That's one scenario that continuously comes to fruition in the NFL. You know, there's a lot of coach speak about a lot of things that never actually happens. But with running back, because you see it happen time in and time out, they said they want to get Jordan Howard more touch this week. And Tariq Cohen hurt his ankle last game.
Ooh, I do like that. I actually have Jordan Howard in one of my early lineups. I did see that mention, and I do like the way they're using Jordan Howard in general. They're throwing to him this season, and again, the numbers do say Chicago at home, Chicago on the road, not ideal, but as a favorite, you do want to. He basically said if we're leading in the fourth quarter, that's when we should have those, you know, 10 or 12 carries for Jordan Howard waiting for him. So, you know, that's the Chicago beats the shit out of it. Like, I love the pairing of Chicago defense with Jordan Howard. That's where the correlation's going to happen. Because if Chicago defense is dominating, there's a good chance that Howard is in there in the fourth quarter just battering Ram. And, you know, then that's when the other team gives up and then the running back breaks one for 40 yards for a touchdown. Not because of his skill, but because the opposing team at that point is just like kind of giving up. And once you go in the NFL from 100% effort to 95% effort, you really, it doesn't work. You know, and that's what happens when you're getting your ass kicked a lot of times. So that can happen. All right, let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Seattle's at home, -1 favorite. So technically, the lean here is the Cowboys. Even though Seattle's favored, they're at home. They should be a 3-point favorite. They're only -1. Another ugly total on the Skybook Sportsbook. 41.5 points. Is this a game you want any exposure to at all? You know, I found that Cowboys games, because they're so reliant on the run, and they do so much of that clock management type work, not just with Zeke, but with Dak. Like, there's just not a lot of plays being run, and it does not tend to be high scoring for either offense, which we saw last week with the Giants. We saw week one. It's just a consistent with the Cowboys, and I bet, hang on, let me bring up their DVOA numbers, but I bet, or that they will show the same, that they're just not giving up a whole lot of points to any positions. But while I'm saying that, what do you think? You got any interest in this game?
I just think there's so many great spots on the slate other than this game that I'm not seeing anything, at least at first glance, that pops out as something I need to target.
When I'm looking at your MME playbook, which is awesome, and DFSArmy.com VIP members make sure to check out Mitch's mass multi-entry playbook every week. If you are trying to mass multi-enter contests using the Domination Station Optimizer, or you just want a breakdown of all of the games, detailed, nice, smooth, that's what Mitch is all about. So I love that article and really great stuff. But when I check that out, are you going to have any players from Dallas, like as you're sneaky, like I need to put 5% on Russell Wilson just because he's at home and, you know, sometimes he goes bananas?
Yeah, you know what? I'll probably have that correlation of Zeke and the Cowboys defense. You know, if the defense can rack up a couple strip sacks or something, have short field opportunities where Zeke could get a couple extra red zone carries. But it's going to be a minimum no matter what it is.
Yeah, don't want too much of this ugly, ugly affair. All right, let's go to Sunday Night Football and the bonanza that we are expecting when the Patriots travel to Detroit to take on the Lions. Skybook Sportsbook has the total right now at 52 points, with the Patriots favored by 6.5. What we know about, there are some really good deals on this one, by the way. I'm not going to talk too much about salaries because there are all these different versions of sites. But if you do the Monday through the Thursday Monday, check out Chris Hogan. But the Lions don't really like to do a whole lot of running the football. Throw to their three wide receivers, Tate, Galladay, and Marvin Jones Jr., almost without any sort of a lead guy. They seem to go to all three of them pretty regularly. Patriots just taking on Josh Gordon. You know, you've got Gronk and Hogan doing their thing. Three-headed running back attack that just can't be trusted. Where are you going in this one?
Two targets stand out to me immediately. Kenny Galladay is second on the team at targets with 21. He only has one less reception than Golden Tate, and he leads the team in yards and is tied for team lead in touchdowns. And on the Patriots side, well, we saw Sony Michel come back, and he had a 21% snap rate in his first game in the NFL, and that came at the expense of Rex Burkhead, whose snap rate dropped from 51% in week one to a 25% snap share in week two. James White actually went from a 48% in week one to a 56% in week two because they were in pass catch-up mode against the Jaguars. So if you're going to think this game's going to be a shootout, both teams are going to be running up and down the field, I got to think James White's back in play, and I like the idea of having either Stafford with Galladay and White on the other side, or Brady with White and Galladay coming back on the other side of that.
I'm going to I'm fine with all of that. Yeah. But I do want to warn that the Patriots are a very game plan specific type of team. And we knew going into the Jaguars game that they were going to be heavy on James White. They did the same thing in the playoffs because the Jaguars stop the run. You just can't really run up the gut on that team, as it showed with the results from both Burkhead and Sony Michel. Like, it's not a team that you can run on. The Lions don't have that cachet. So I'm not ever trusting the Patriots' running game and their running game decisions. Very dangerous. Not something you want to do a whole lot of. Jordan White, I don't think White is, I think White will go back to his usual usage here, which he will get targets. He should see his 7 or 8, maybe 6 or 7 targets max in this game, but his normal usage. And if he's priced up, that's not, you know, going to be, I don't expect him, where I'm going is I don't expect him to see a 50%+ snap share in this particular game. What I do agree with fully, though, is that the whole mix between Michel and Burkhead renders that whole situation just bad. I don't trust any of it. I don't trust any of it. As a matter of fact, it's going to be tough in the single game to know who to go to at the running back position. I do think you almost want to go to White because he might be the cheapest of all of them. But what an ugly, ugly, you know, situation going on in that New England backfield right now. Until one of them gets hurt, which they will. You know?
Sorry. Yeah, it's brutal.
You know, they're going to get hurt. I like Gronk. I like Hogan. I don't know, the whole Josh Gordon thing throws a wrench into this that I can't even wrap my brain around right now. I'm glad that this is not part of this slate. That Sunday night showdown, I don't even know what to do with myself with that one. But on Detroit, I do think Kerryon Johnson is a nice running back option. I think he's going to be the guy for them. Again, three-headed disaster going on in Detroit right now where they bring in LeGarrette Blount on the goal line. Not cool, guys. Not cool. If you drafted Kerryon Johnson, you're just waiting for LeGarrette Blount to hurt himself. But, sorry. Not cool. But, yeah, this is going to be a game where, as great as that total looks, it's still a little scary to try to figure out who's going to get those points. And it's a game where you don't really like any of the running backs, but you love all of the pass catchers and all of the pass throwers. All right, let's go to Monday Night Football.
Let's do it.
And I can't wait for this game. Lock button situations all over the place. So we've got the Steelers heading out to Tampa to take on the Bucks. Sky Books Sports Book shows a 53.5 point total. Steelers favored by one. So what are you thinking here? I mean, Bucks, neither of these teams have shown kind of good defense, except for maybe, I don't know, really neither of these teams. So where are we going with this one?
I mean, there's so many directions you can take a lineup by just focusing on this game in particular. And whether that's on the primetime slate or the full Thursday slate, I think that you might actually have a little bit of an edge on focusing on this game rather than the Saints and Falcons game, which is earlier, Sunday at 1 o'clock. You're going to have some pretty decent ownership there. You'll have a lot more on New England on Sunday Night Football because it's Sunday. You know, no one wants to wait till Monday night to know what happens with their lineup. So if you play those full slates, I think this is the edge right here.
I do like it. Now, are you going to Connor Fitzpatrick McGregor?
Yeah.
Fitzy McGregor. Are we going back to the well with Fitzy McGregor in this game?
Oof.
Little Fitzy to Mike Evans kind of action?
Yeah, you know what? You don't want to play road Ben, right? Not when you got a guy like Fitzpatrick who's just lighting up the world right now. He's got 819 passing yards and 8 touchdowns through 2 games. There's 2 guys I think I'd want with him over Mike Evans, actually. So I'm excited to see what you have to say about him. But DeSean Jackson went from a 30% snap rate in week 1 to a 59% snap rate in week 2. So and he wasn't even supposed to be a starter, and they started him in week 2. So I think he pretty much he's popped. The coaching staff wants him in there now. Him and Fitzpatrick clearly have some chemistry, and it doesn't take high volume to get the ball to DJX for him to make a difference, which I really like. And another playmaker who people were targeting a little bit last year, especially early in the year, was O.J. Howard at the tight end position.
Ooh, well, I wasn't expecting
right.
that.
Yes, I know. Well, in week 1, he played 65% of the snaps. Cameron Brate had more snaps. They did a lot of 2 tight end sets. Week 2, Brate dropped about 30% all the way down. I think he had 41% of the snaps. O.J. Howard went up to 79% snap rate in week 2. And he had that really nice catch and run, that long touchdown. I think it was 75 yards. It just showed his athleticism, and he outran some guys, and he bowled over somebody on the sideline. And, that could be a nice way to run Fitz with DJX for that long play. Running back with Juju Smith-Schuster, who in many different measurables that I won't bore you in right now, even though I've got it written down, is outplaying Antonio Brown thus far.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's gonna come around. Actually, I like that you're mentioning some of these cheapos. And yeah, OJ Howard had a pretty big week. Not getting a ton of targets, but, you know, he's in there. He's had a big day for a guy with, 3 receptions last week. Had 2 receptions, but a lot of yardage the week before. So he's involved. He's getting some yards. With Antonio Brown, here's the deal. Like, there's been some drama around this guy this week. I'm not here. A tweet. You know, don't count on him being kept down 2 weeks in a row. That's just not happening. So, you know, he's going to get fed in this game, and that's a good reason to want to get away from Mike Evans just for that reason, because you're going to want to pay up for Antonio Brown. And if you're paying up for Antonio Brown, you can't afford them both. So now we have to go down to some of those names that you talked about. The Chris Godwin. Oh, well, you didn't mention Chris Godwin, but he's another guy. 5 targets. 6 targets last week. four targets a week before. So even with DeSean Jackson in there, Chris Godwin is doing his thing. You got DeSean Jackson not getting a ton of targets, but doing a lot with the few targets that he's getting. I mean, these 2 weeks have been ridiculous. Something about his connection with Deshaun Watson's really, with Fitzpatrick's really working. So cool. My lock button play is going to be John or James the Terminator Connor. I'm locking him in my Thursday through Monday contest. There's nothing that has changed about Connor's role. He is Le'Veon Bell 2.0. Did he have the greatest week last week? No, but he still kicked some ass. He still took some names, and he still had a sweet 20-point day. Can you imagine if they gave him more than 8 carries? So, I'm all about the Terminator this week. I love this game. I love Antonio Brown. I love Juju. Everybody. I'll play Fitzmagic. I'll have him throw into, you know, Godwin or Deshaun or whoever the hell I can get in there. Even O.J. Howard. I'm on board. I'm not super on board, but I'm a little on board.
Correct.
Yeah, there we go. All right. That will do it. This was fun, Mitch. That will do it for the DFS Army Vegas Lions Daily Fantasy Football Breakdowns podcast. This is our inaugural one for the 2018 fantasy football season, but we'll be back each week breaking down these games early in the week from a daily fantasy football perspective. Thanks again, Mitch.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See everybody in Slack if you're in there. If you're not, it's time to sign up. DFSArmy.com, VIP member. Promo code GEEK gets you 10% off. Do this.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.